Worship, and we're going to take a step further into worship today and teach and just work through the word here for a little while, digging into worship, worship as a lifestyle, worship as my daily motivation, worship as a heart's desire to please God and to see God's presence grow in my life. I think it's probably universal here today that all of us want more of God. All of us want more of Him. We may not know exactly what that looks like. We may not know exactly how to define that. We may not know exactly what that means, but we are curious and we are interested to know what does God have for me? What else does God want to do for me and in my life? And so when we talk about worship, I think the way I like to study and the way I want to understand something, I want to go back to the first worship or the first worshiper. I want to go back and understand the created thing, how this came about, the law of first mention, if you will, because I think the purest teaching about a thing is where it began, not what man turned it into or not how people messed it up, but what did God intend and what did He establish? What was His intention when it came to worship? And when you go back to creation and you begin to study the plan of God, then you'll quickly recognize that there are three archangels or archangels. You hear it pronounced both ways, archangels, archangels. But here are these three angels. They are, for lack of a better term, they are the lead angels. They are the three that God uses to do different and specific tasks. There was Michael, who was known as the warring angel. Michael would come in with his sword. He would come in with the judgment of God. He would come in with the vengeance of the Lord. He was the warring angel. And there was Gabriel, who was the messenger angel. Gabriel was the one that came in with announcements. He's the one that came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child. You're going to call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. And then there was Lucifer, who was the worship angel, or the angel who was in charge of music. So Michael, Gabriel, angel, warring messenger worship. These three angels become a picture of every church service. You have prayer, you have message, and you have worship. Not necessarily in that order, but all three of those elements are very important. Prayer is likened back to warring angel. When we pray, we had a team of intercessors that prayed in this auditorium this morning, prayed in prayer rooms today, interceding on behalf of this service, praying on behalf of the people who were going to come. You and I may have been brushing our teeth and figuring out what we were going to wear and deciding which car we were going to drive. And while we're making all of these decisions, there is spiritual warfare that is going on. Someone praying, asking God to push back the darkness and to move in the ways that He wants to move according to His divine purpose and divine will in this service. Is anybody thankful for the power of prayer today? Amen. And what I love about prayer is that it doesn't have to be done in a prayer room. It can be done anywhere. You can pray in your car. You can pray while you're brushing your teeth. Yes, there is something to be said for the dedicated time of prayer, for a time when I just get alone, or in my closet, as we used to call it, wherever that is. All of that is important. But you see all of these things happening in a particular church service: prayer, message, and worship. Problem is that in heaven, one of these angels began to get out of bounds, if you will. He began to go a different direction. That is Lucifer. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12, 13, and 14, if you want to follow along. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world." Here is the crime in verse 13. "For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High." This was the problem with the first worshiper. This was the issue with the archangel who was in charge of worship, Lucifer, who had all of these instruments in him, who had this ability to create this atmosphere of worship. He decided that he wanted to be higher than God, decided that he wanted to be above God. Can I tell you that Lucifer, who became the devil that you and I rightfully despise today, that is still his goal. That is still the goal of the enemy, to be greater than God in your life, to be higher than the Lord in your life. It's redirected worship. He wants to redirect your worship, because here's the reality. Worship is still worship even if it isn't given to God. I'm still worshiping even if I'm not worshiping God. I'm still worshiping something, and the enemy does not care what it is you worship. He doesn't care what it is you give your allegiance to. He doesn't care what it is that you give your attention to, just as long as you do not give worship to God. And so I began to learn very quickly that anything else I give my focus to becomes a tool of the enemy. Anything that I put in place of God, anything that I make a priority over God. Oh, Lord, he's just 15 minutes in and he's already teaching. Coming for you today. I want to teach today. I want to help all of us understand how important worship is, because it's a good time for me to take inventory of the things that are distracting me, the things that get my attention, the things that cause me to, oh, squirrel, and look that direction, the things that keep me from remaining focused on my spiritual walk or remaining narrow in my spiritual journey. I want to make sure that my worship is to God and God alone. I don't want to worship myself. I don't want to worship my wife. I don't want to worship anything, my career. I don't want to worship my education. All of that has its place. All of it is important. Many of it has very high priority in my life. But there is nothing that takes the place of God in my life. And I want to make sure that he remains in his rightful place. Because anything that I put in his place, some people think, well, I've got that in number one. But listen, God is in my top five. No, if he's not number one, he's not anything in your life. I don't know how else to say that. I know that sounds harsh and difficult, because some people really think that we can rate things. Well, you know, I got to put this number one and this is number two in my life because this is really important right now. But God is in there. He's in my top 10. No, there is no second place for God. There is no third place for God. He's either in first place or he's not in any place. And that's what we learn when we begin to look at the beginnings of worship and the creative purpose of worship. Look at verse 11 in Isaiah 14. He says, "Your pomp, your splendor, your majesty, your glory, all of that is brought down to Sheol. And the sound of your stringed instruments." I'm sending music to hell, he said. I'm sending all of that out of here because it's not like me. It's not for me. It's just a side note. It's not even in my notes, but as a person who loves all kinds of music, very eclectic in my taste and range of music. But you have to be careful. Have to be careful. Right now, all the young people are talking about, Kiki, do you love me? Parents, you ought to go home and read the words to that song. There's F words in that song. I mean, I get it. We all focus on a hook or something that just is catchy or just a tune or just something I can swing a hip to. And I understand it. I get all of that. But you have to be careful because the enemy is all in music. And that goes for you country loving music too that just left a wife and, you know, all that drama too. It's in all of it, and we have to be careful. I'm not saying that you have to listen to Christian music only. I'm not saying you can't put some Luther on every now and then or you know, just to, absolutely, I enjoy and love all of it. All of it has its rightful place, but you also have to understand that there is a spirit behind music. And doesn't it make sense that the enemy would use music? Because that's who he is. Is everybody all right with his teaching this morning? So Ezekiel chapter 28, he continues this. He says, Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone. It was red carnelian, pale green peridot, white moonstone, blue green beryl, onyx, green jasper, blue lapis lazuli, turquoise and emerald, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. He's describing the garments that the worshiper wore. Describing the beauty that is in worship, the creative beauty that is in God's purpose behind worship. And he says in verse 14, I ordained you. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned. So I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you. Exposed you. I put you out because I will not share my glory with another. If the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, do we really believe that God is going to share his glory in our lives? Do we really believe that he's going to allow us just to put whatever in place of him and it not be judged or it not be dealt with? Jesus said it this way in Luke 10 and 18. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He was thrown out of heaven. Lucifer was fired from the job of worship. And it left a void, left an emptiness. Maybe now you begin to understand why worship is so important. and why our choice to worship God on a Sunday morning, why our decision to say, you know what, in spite of how I feel and in spite of what's going on in my life and in spite of what is swirling in my world, I am going to worship the Lord because I was made for this. That's what I'm teaching today. I'm made for this. I'm made. There was a vacancy left in heaven. Let me see those signs. Brother Donnie, these are important to me today. I sent them looking for help wanted signs today, and we ended up having to make our own. They don't have any help wanted signs anywhere in Covington, but help wanted. I'm looking for worshipers. He's looking for worshipers because there is a vacancy. There's a vacancy. Have you ever been to a restaurant that didn't have enough help? Have you ever been in a place? Have you ever been to Walmart? Let me just ask you that. That's the only example I need. I hate going to Walmart. God rest Sam Walton and whoever else out of that mess, but I don't like going because every time I go, there's 1,000 people in there and one little beginner cashier that has no idea. They've never seen a debit card, don't know how to work. They don't even know what is cash. I don't even know how any of this works. Just people in there that don't know what they're doing. If you were, I know we have people that work at Walmart, and thank you for being the smartest person in the room. Amen. But sometimes you go and it's like, where is the help? Where is the help? I have a feeling that sometimes the Lord is saying, I need some help. I created every church service to be full of worship. I created every place to have help. Come here, Chris, help me today. Just stand over here and help your section. Just let them know. You see them sometimes on the street corner now. They're paying people $10 an hour to get on the corner and swing signs. Have you seen that lately? They dance. They usually got headphones in, and they're out there dancing and swinging their signs. Have y'all really not seen this?
Yes, he has.
All right. You just not feeling it this morning? You just, that one. He said that one. Help wanted. You trying to get some people in that section over here. Come here, Miss Maddie. Can you just, I'm not going to ask you to swing nothing. I'm going to ask you to stand and look pretty. Just look pretty right over here. Come right over here. What's going on? I'm looking for help over here. Not me, God. He wants help. There needs to be some worship, some help in this house. Come here, Bill. Can you help somebody over here? Just hold that. We're looking for help. Do I have any students? Do I have? Look at them. None of them even look me in the eye. Just won't even look me in the eye. Come here, JC. You can handle this. I need some help. We're looking for help because there is a vacancy in heaven. He's hiring. Can I tell you that the Lord pays good when you praise him, when you bless him, when you magnify him? You can't help but get his attention. You can't help but get his attention to say, you know what, I'm gonna bless some worshipers. If I clothe the first one in jewels, then I may want to bless you abundantly. If I gave the first one a voice, then I may want to use your voice, because we need some help. There is a vacancy in heaven, but hear us, Lord, loud and clear. There will not be a vacancy of worship in this house, because we know in whom we have believed. Some trust in chariots and others trust in horses, but we will remember the name of our God forever. Does anybody feel like worshiping the Lord in this room today? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Got those signs for sale after church if anybody wants. Who is the new worship leader in God's kingdom? It's you and I. We are called to be worshipers. In fact, I am made for worship. I'm built for worship. When he created me, he gave me some of the same attributes, some of the same characteristics, some of the same created talents and abilities. He made me for worship. What does that mean? I literally am an instrument I know we have instruments. We've got pianos and keyboards and organs and drums and cymbals and guitars. We have instruments, but I'm not ready to get rid of any of those. I like them. I hope we keep adding more of them. But I am an instrument all by myself. I have vocal cords, strings. I'm not Luciano Pavarotti, or I've got vocal cords. I can make sound with the strings, the chords, the strings that are in my voice. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I've got chords and strings and ability in me. You say, well, I don't sing like that, or I think my chords may be out of tune. I understand you're vocally challenged, but guess what? He didn't say only people who could sing. He said, let everyone that has breath. He didn't say just talented people or people with certain ability or people that have perfect pitch. He said, let everyone that has breath. That means if you have breath in your body, Lord have mercy, I feel like God's about to do something in this room. If you have breath in your body, then you were made for worship. You have a sound in you. You have a voice. Make a joyful noise, all ye make a sing a new song. Make a joy. Just take about 5 seconds and see if your voice works. Just see if it will make a sound here this morning. Would you just let a voice out of praise for just a moment here today? Hallelujah! I have vocal cords, strings. I have a voice. It's a wind instrument. It takes wind. You've got to get a deep breath. If I'm all out of breath, sometimes we make fun of my sweet mother because we all fall out laughing as a family because she'll talk and she'll forget to take a breath. And all of a sudden, the next word that comes out has no air in it. It makes no sound. She's so excited about what she's telling us. You have to get, you got a diaphragm in here. You got to take a breath. You got to get a good breath. And then you can let your voice out. You get breath. It's a wind instrument. It's a wind instrument. You let that voice out. And then I have hands that are percussion instruments. I can keep the beat. I can put my foot in this thing. I can keep a beat. My kids laughing because I'm always drumming on everything. I'm playing the steering wheel and playing the dashboard. I'm singing along. My hands are percussion instruments. Why? Because I am a one-man band. I can worship the Lord from head to toe. Stop saying you don't know how. Stop saying you don't know when. You can worship the Lord in any circumstance, in any situation. You can leave your stressed out desk and go to the break room. I've worshiped in a bathroom stall before. You can go outside where all the smokers are and just say, pardon me. I'm going to pretend this is the Shekinah glory of God out here, this cloud. I just need to worship the Lord for a moment because God has been so good to me. I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait for revival. I've got to praise Him right now. I've got to clap right now. I've got to worship Him right now. I'm trying to help our church understand that this is so much more than Sunday at 10 a.m. or 10:15 or 10:30. Need I go on? This is so much more than 10 a.m. Because the reality is, if the only time I worship is at 10 o'clock on Sunday, my worship is probably not going to be very vigorous or productive. Because even though we take 25 or 30 minutes and spend time in worship, Even though our team prepares, man, they're here for a couple of hours on Wednesdays, and then they're here at 7:45 on Sunday. How many were still asleep at 7:45 this morning? Whole bunch of you were still asleep. The worship team was here praying and preparing, making sure that the notes were right, making sure that the instruments were in tune. They were preparing. But the reality is, when I've carried junk from last week and I've piled on my issues and I've not dealt with my stresses, I just keep shoving them down further into a pocket and I just carry all of my baggage in here. The 20 or 30 minutes or 10 minutes or four, whatever it is not enough to get all of that stuff unshackled and untethered from my spirit. That's why I've got to worship all week long. I've got to praise him on Tuesday. I've got to worship him on Wednesday. I've got to magnify the Lord on Friday. Then when they said it's time to go to the house of the Lord, I'm glad, because I'm not encumbered by all of that mess. I'm not weighted down by all of that junk, but let me get in the presence of the Lord, and like David, I can run through a troop, I can leap up over a wall. Why? Because I got in the house of the Lord, and I'm made for this. Thank you, Brother Norman. You understand what I'm saying back there. I've got to give praise to the Lord. I've got to give worship to the Lord. I've got to magnify the Lord in this house. Worship is powerful. Worship is powerful. I was made for this. I am fulfilling. I am holding down the job. I am stepping into the place because he made me for this. Let me tell you three things today that I think are going to help you to understand your created, formed purpose. Number one, you have to know this: God made me from him. God made me from him. There's an important distinction, because some things God created and other things he made. See, some things he created, some things he made. See, the Bible said that when fish and life in the sea, he didn't form those or make those. He spoke those into existence. In fact, he commanded the water. He spoke to the waters and said, let the waters bring forth fish. He spoke to their creative source, and all of a sudden, there's whales, sharks, and bass, large mouth and small mouth, catfish ready to be fried up in a pan, a little cocktail and tartar sauce mixed up. He created, spoke them into existence. Plants and trees, how many different plants are there? How many different flowers are there? How many different species and kinds of plants and vegetation? The Bible said he spoke to the ground. It just came because of his spoken word. And then all of a sudden, all of this different vegetation, all of these different kinds of trees and different kinds of plants, all of a sudden they exist. It's there because he created it to be so. But when he got ready to make man, the Bible said that he spoke to himself, man is going to come out of me. And he knelt down in that great sandbox in the sky, and the Bible said that he formed man. He shaped man in his own likeness and in his own image. He made me. He made me from him. It is so important, because once he made me, there I was lying there with size 13 feet and 5 fingers and 2 legs and 2 eyes. There I was laying, but I didn't have any life. And the Bible said that he breathed the Zoe. He breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. What the Bible said, man became a living, he made me. He didn't shape the fish. He didn't form the plants, but he made me from him. That's why it's so important what my source is. It's so important to know where I came from. Genesis 1 and 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land. He began to lay it out, what each one of these created beings and species, all of this is going to do, what their purpose is. But let me make man, and what is man's purpose? Man's purpose is to worship. Man's purpose is to reproduce after his kind. Man's purpose is to work. Man's purpose is to be like God in the earth. Let me ask you today, you were created from him, but what are you doing with that life? What are you doing with that life? Where is your life going? Are you fulfilling your purpose? That's why we hold up help wanted signs. Because you may not think you have any ability whatsoever, but if you can worship, you can fulfill your God-designed, God-breathed purpose for your life. People got light bulbs going off right now because you felt so all alone while people are busy all about the church, and man, I wish I knew how to do what they did, or I wish I could get involved in that area. I wish I could be a part of that's going on. Listen, you can be one of the most important people in this church if you'll just worship. Help create the atmosphere of God in this house. Let me tell you something. There are people that walk in here by the dozens every Sunday that have no clue, no idea even what I'm talking about right now. And when we talk about what do you mean? How do I worship? I don't know how to pray. You're talking about a breakthrough. I don't know how to get a breakthrough, but you know how, and you can do that for someone else. I don't want to get too deep or too far out there for you because I'm still new here and all, but I believe in intercessory worship. What is that? That means my hands are not lifted for me. Or so I can get another $10 in my bank account. Or, Lord, I just need one more goosebump running up and down my spine. No, I'm worshiping for that family I see across the church who are brand new. I want to bless you, Lord, but anything you would pour out on me, I want to redirect it to them. I want you to pour it. They don't even have their hands lifted, but they're feeling something. They haven't even opened their mouth in praise, but God is just pouring his spirit out on their life. I'm telling you, God is ready to blow this church up. God is ready to open up these doors and announce us to this entire county, but it'll only happen if there are worshipers in this house. Hallelujah. Trying to hold it in, Andretta, but I'm about to go out of my mind in this room today because I feel the power of God in this house. God made me from him. Number two, don't miss this. God made me to be with him. God made me to be with him. I gotta hurry. I don't have the time that I need to really teach this, but this is important. It's important. Here's the example. Here's the word picture in Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Because worship, no, stay with me just a moment. Worship is intimacy between God and his bride. Worship is the way that I connect with him. As important as it is for you to connect with your spouse on multiple levels, That's how important it is for you to work at your relationship with God. Well, I showed up. That's the reason some of our marriages are in trouble. We just showing up, not putting any work into it. This isn't a marriage class. We'll save that for later. But look at your relationship with God. Well, I don't ever tell him I love him, but he knows. How does that work for you in your marriage? Well, I mean, the Lord knows how I really feel about him. No, he made you to be with him. Worship is intimacy. Ephesians 2 and 6 says that we were made to sit together. It's interesting that Paul would use that word. We were made to sit together in heavenly places. I am so comfortable in the presence of God because he created me. He made me to be with him. This may be a different style than you're used to. This may be different teaching than you ever heard of. Maybe the tradition you were raised in was very quiet and very calm. Everyone sat with their hands folded, and I have respect for that. I'm not degrading what you were raised in at all, but what I'm teaching you is right out of the Bible. You were made to sit in heavenly places, and I understand. I've been in some atmospheres where I'm like, I ain't used to this. But I don't judge what's going on by what I see. I judge it by what I feel. Because the Bible said that you try the Spirit and see if it be of God. I'm way off into Bible study here this morning, but that's how you know. Listen, I've never clapped my hands in worship before. I've never swayed. I've come tradition that you keep your hips real just in place at all times. Never been to a church where somebody kind of do like that. Proving every day that white men cannot dance. Never been to that kind of church. Not asking you to judge what you see. I'm asking you, what do you feel? Because somewhere down deep in your spirit, after you filter it through the preacher that said, now, if you ever see anybody doing this, run as fast as you can. What does your spirit tell you? Well, I don't even know how to sway my, but something tells me I'm in the right place. Why? Because you were made to sit in heavenly places. God made me to be with him. We, the church, are his bride. We've got to work at this relationship. We've got to work for his presence. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Revelation 21, 9 and 10. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. We are the bride. And here's the deal. Lucifer wanted all of this for himself only. Look at verses 19 and 20 of Revelation 21. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz. Is this sounding familiar to anybody? Just read this in Ezekiel 28, the 10th cryophrase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. Here's the city that I've created for you, worshipers, the bride. Jesus said, I'll give this to those who worship me. Whether it's my blessing, whether it's gifts, whether it's favor, I have so much that I want to give you simply because you are a worshiper. He said that healing was the children's bread. We can have healing if we want. We can have breakthrough if we want. I feel like there's deliverance all through this house right now. People that are addicted to things that you don't want to be addicted to. People that have been held bound and captive to things that you no longer want to be held captive or bound to. I'm telling you, at the sound of worship here in just a moment, there are chains that are going to fall. Do you remember Paul and Silas in an innermost dungeon at midnight? The Bible said that they sang praises unto God, and all of a sudden their chains began to... I'm telling you, there is power in worship. There is power in praise. And when I lift up my hands, it's not just obedience to the preacher or the worship leader. It is, Lord, I need you to do what you wanted to do through him. I accept the position. I am your worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I'm here to do what God needs me to do. What else would he give you? What else will he do for you? I'm telling you, there are people in this room that God wants to bless abundantly. And he'll do it because you decide to be a worshiper. Number three, God, I feel you in this room today. Number three, God made me to express love to him. He made me from him. He made me to be with him. And God made me to express love to him. John 4:23, but the hour is coming. The hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. I'm sorry. I want to give space to everybody, every emotional makeup, every personality difference. I want to give pause to every shy person, every introverted person, every quiet person. But here's the reality. I've never seen worship really be worship unless it was expressed in some way. Again, if I think that Don is a good guy, but I never say, Don, you're a good guy, man. Thank you. Appreciate you. I know there's a bunch of Dons. I was talking to you. I think he's a good guy. If I never tell him that, then I haven't really praised him. If I just stand on stage and just think it, you know, them Hilliards are good people. Well, they're just good people. They're great people. But I just walk right on by them, nod. Well, they didn't hear that communicated that I think they're good people in that nod. Now, if I walk by you today and nod, don't assume. But if I think they're good people and say, man, you're a great guy. You're an awesome lady. Your kids need some work, but just kidding. Same way with the Lord. If all of it's just internal, you're saying, oh, Pastor Darrell, you're trying to turn me into one of those holy rollers. Well, do you know how to roll good? Are you holy? Got to express it in some way. Expression for you may be tapping your foot. Expression for you may be sitting quietly with tears running down your face. But you can't hold this in. Worship has to be expressed. He made me to express it to him. He seeks worshipers that worship him in spirit and truth. Here's the deal with that word worship. It's a man-made word that doesn't really mean worship. I know that's messing us up. It messed me up when I learned this. It's a word that was translated the best way possible. But when we say worship, it's we're thinking hands and all of that. It's good, but the word is proskuneo. I wish we had this on the screen so you could see the word in the Greek. It's an unusual word. Austin, where you at, Austin? You're back here getting ready. Austin, his mother and grandmother were Greek, and he's my Greek scholar. If you haven't gotten to know Austin yet or his boys, the man knows the Greek language, and so now I'm like extra nervous to ever use one of these words because he actually knows what they mean. But this word proskuneo, it's a verb meaning to kiss. Listen, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will kiss the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to kiss him. But guess what? It's not the intimate kiss. It's not that one. It's described like a dog licking his master's hand. You left, how many have dogs? Pets, got a bunch of you. You left this morning, your dog was sad. But when you get back home today, how is your dog going to act? That's the word. Jumping. Running around the house. Licking your hand. Jumping up on your leg. Scratching. That's the word. I'm seeking people that act just like that in my presence. People that are so excited to see me. I don't know about you, but our dogs are dumb. They can't tell time. I've left the house and just gone to the garage and pulled out of the driveway and realized I forgot something. Pulled back in. I wasn't gone 60 seconds. And they act like I was gone 2 days. Jumping. Scratching. Kissing. What is it? Every time I'm in the presence of the Lord, there is an excitement in me. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm seeking people who will respond to me just like that. People who are so happy to see me. They're not deciding whether or not they're going to worship based on the kind of song that's being sung. They're not people who are upset because chairs moved around. We had people that said they weren't going to come back to our church because we moved the chairs. Folk, I'm going to say this as kindly as I possibly can. Get over yourselves. My wife's in here today, so I got to behave, but I'm just going to say it the only way I know how. Your butt is not that important. That was too far, wasn't it? Too much? Thank you very much. Just sit somewhere. The point is not where I sit. The point is that I have an opportunity to worship God. The point is that I have a chance to bless the Lord, oh my soul. Whether I'm on this side or that side, the front row, the back row, I just want to worship the Lord because that is what matters. The devil has been successful at making worship praise look crazy. We don't think twice about acting a fool at the game. Nothing, who cares if we're loud at the concert, we'll act a complete fool, but come to church and we have to be quiet. No. Are things done decent in order? Absolutely. If you get out of order, we'll let you know. But if I have a worship inside of me that belongs to God, don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. The devil doesn't want you to praise because praise is literally a key that unlocks your next level. Somebody, Joe, you got keys on you. Throw me a set of keys. The one time they're not clipped on your belt. The one, oh my Lord, look. Beat by a woman again. Woo! What do all of these go to? You better be president of the United States if you're carrying all. Tell me you're important. All right. Awesome. I love it. You know the weight somebody carries by the amount of keys. I got one key on my ring. This lady, she got, I love it. I love it. I love it. You got a knife? Oh, hello. Worship is a key. I literally come to church every Sunday with a key in my hand. What's behind door number three? It's my breakthrough. It's my healing. It's my blessing. I've got a key. Going to doctors and don't know what's going on. Dealing with uncertainty and questions. I got a key, Dennis. I got a key. I got a key. I got a key. I can stick it in the door and unlock it with my praise. With my praise in the name of Jesus. I unlock the door. Every single person in this room has a key. Everybody. Now, so-and-so's not here today. They're the ones that usually help me worship. I usually use their key. Make me a copy of your key. You're a good worshiper. Make me a copy of your key so I can get in all of your doors. No. You got a key. What about your key? What does God want you to unlock in your life? What blessing does God have for you? Unlock it because you were made for this. 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 I've spoken your word today, God. I've taught what you gave me to teach. And now, Lord, I'm asking you to follow your word with signs and wonders. As people understand the importance of worship, the importance of their life being worship, the importance of praise and act of worship, then my worship will not be determined by climate or atmosphere or song or seat. My worship will be determined by God, you made me for this today. My reason for living is because you've put breath in my body to exalt your name. Hallelujah. I exalt thee. I exalt. Just keep it light and low for just a moment. I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh Lord. I exalt thee. Come on, sing that as a choir across this room. I exalt thee. already standing. I want to open the altar if you want to come as a worshiper.